From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Peter Biello, and this is a special edition of The Exchange. Americans are filing for unemployment in record numbers. Just last week, 4.4 million people applied for unemployment benefits. That brings the number of people who have filed for unemployment nationwide in the past 5 weeks to 26 million. With businesses closed and stay-at-home orders in place due to the coronavirus pandemic, more Granite Staters are likely to apply. This afternoon, we're taking your calls on a special edition of The Exchange focusing on unemployment. We're looking at how the system is working, and we want to know how it's working for you. Give us a call now. Our phone number is 1-800-892-6477. That's 1-800-892-NHPR. You can also email exchange@nhpr.org. And joining us for this hour is Richard Labors, Employment Security Deputy Commissioner for the State of New Hampshire. Thank you very much for speaking with me.
Hey, Peter. Good afternoon.
And also with us today by Skype is NHPR's Todd Bookman, who's been covering unemployment and economic trends during the coronavirus pandemic. Todd, thank you for being here.
Hi, Peter.
Again, listeners, your unemployment questions or your stories, welcome 1-800-892-6477. And I wanted to start with you, Richard Labors, and let's talk about a few basics, starting with qualification. Who qualifies for unemployment right now?
All right. So with the expanded eligibility that the governor put in place back on March 17th, which was really ahead of what other states and bordering New Hampshire were doing, expanded eligibility for a lot of folks that previously would not have been able to file and collect unemployment. So we're talking individuals that needed to stay home to take care of a dependent because of school being closed or because child care not being available, someone who was sick themselves, or someone that needed to take care of a family member who was sick with COVID-19. And also those that were unable to go to work, either based on a direction from a health care provider, a public health official, or those that felt that they needed to self-quarantine and were unable to work. So all of those individuals in those types of categories who previously would not have been able to file for unemployment with the emergency order that the governor put in place on March 17th, have been able to file since that point in time.
Mm-hmm. And we just learned this morning that another 19,000 unemployment claims were filed in New Hampshire last week. That's down a bit from the previous week, which saw 25,000 new claims. Can you just put that into context for us, what this kind of surge for your office is like? How are you dealing with it?
So first, Peter, on those numbers, it's a positive sign in the numbers that we've seen over these last 2 weeks. Over these last 2 weeks, we've seen about a 50% drop in our number of new claims. So we hope that that continues with the current week that we're in and that we've seen our peak in terms of the number of new claims. Over this time period, we've seen over 144,000 new claims for unemployment. In the first week of the pandemic, we had nearly 30,000 claims. The week prior to that, so the week immediately prior to that, we had just under 600 claims. And for the better part of the last 4 years, that's what New Hampshire had been seeing. You know, we've had one of the lowest unemployment rates in the country for the last 4 years. Our labor force has been at its peak in the history of the state, so more people had been working in New Hampshire than ever before. So we started at a very high point with a very robust economy and a very low unemployment rate, which I believe is what explains the percentage increase that we've had in unemployment in comparison to other states. I know there's been a lot that has been made of that. I do think it is a positive sign in how effectively New Hampshire has been able to quarantine following the leadership of the governor, how effective the business community and residents of New Hampshire, how serious they've taken COVID-19 and how effectively they've quarantined. And we know that there are tools that need to be made available in order for individuals to be able to quarantine. And unemployment insurance and the benefits that we've been paying out are one of those tools that have enabled individuals to follow that instruction and for New Hampshire to avoid a lot of what, for the most part, has been dramatic spikes in COVID-19 cases that we've seen in the Northeast.
And we're going to get into the mechanics of getting those payments and how much they might be in a little bit, but I do want to bring in as many callers as possible. We've got plenty of people lining up to ask you questions, Richard Lavers. And let's start with Cheryl in Greenland. Cheryl, thank you very much for calling. What's your question?
My question is, I am self-employed, and I've been filing since the end of March, and I've still not received a paycheck, and curious as to what the status of that is.
Richard Lavers.
So, Cheryl, so with self-employed, self-employed folks were not previously part of the unemployment system. They didn't weren't required to pay into the fund, which provides the benefits, but that was one of the groups that eligibility was expanded for. Many, if not most, self-employed individuals are currently being paid. There's some underlying circumstances that could affect an individual's eligibility that obviously with Cheryl, I'll be able to get your information offline and make sure that we're able to have a conversation later on today.
But there's no across-the-board delay for people who are self-employed? It may be Cheryl's particular circumstances?
There are some circumstances that have delayed payment for some. So we ask for self-employed to provide us with their net earnings from 2019 because in order to determine what an individual's weekly benefit amount is going to be, the unemployment system utilizes your earnings from what we call a base period. So we can just think of that as 2019 in this case. So we ask people to provide us with their net earnings from 2019, and they self-certify as to those earnings. So if someone didn't have any earnings for 2019 or had insufficient earnings, that being below $2,800 during that time period, some of those individuals would not have received benefits yet. But I can tell you, Peter, that we actually have a solution going into our system that was supposed to happen last night that we put off until tonight that is going to take care of individuals that fall into that group so that we'll be able to get them in at that minimum weekly benefit amount.
And how quickly will that system be working for folks like Cheryl, who may have been waiting since the end of March, which is now more than 3 weeks away?
Yeah, so it's tough to talk and comment about. Obviously, I don't want to talk about a specific individual, but each unemployment claim, Peter, is unique in that the situation and some of the issues that could impact your claim are different from person to person. So if that were the only issue that were holding up payment in this instance, then those payments would go out tomorrow. Again, there could be other issues that were impacting the eligibility, because remember, even though we have expanded eligibility right now and a lot of people are taking advantage of that, that doesn't mean that everyone who applies is still eligible. You still need to have demonstrated some attachment to the workforce, having been in employment. So folks that have no employment, have no earnings, that are now trying to file for benefits. In a lot of those cases, obviously, where it's an unemployment program, and if you haven't had any employment, then those folks wouldn't be eligible.
Okay, and let's go to the phones again, and let's talk to Dottie in Tamworth. Dottie, thank you very much for calling.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me?
Sure can. What's your question?
Okay, all right. My question is this. It's actually for my son, not for myself, because I'm retired and all that jazz. But he is a graphic designer, 31 years old. And basically, over the last year, I know he pays a lot in taxes, but he has only had contract work, basically. So cash is cash can, which is often the case in that. He doesn't receive a W-2. And I think it's a 1099. I couldn't reach him to clarify that. But he talked with his regular CPA. And who said, no, he would not be eligible for unemployment, receive any unemployment insurance because he isn't paid with W-2s, which I thought sounded kind of weird to me, but I'm calling for clarification on that.
Well, thank you very much, Dottie. Appreciate it. Richard Lavers.
Yeah, so Dottie, in that case, someone in that case would be considered self-employed. So the CPA that your son had spoken to previously would have been correct up until March 17th. But as of March 17th, with the governor's emergency order, eligibility was created for self-employed individuals. So I would encourage your son to go on to our website at www.nhes.nh.gov and click on the red button for file a claim for benefits. And if he has any questions with that, he can contact our hotline, which is at 271-7700. And we have folks that are sitting waiting for calls from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturdays and Sundays. We have about 200 individuals that are taking calls. A lot of those folks are men and women from the New Hampshire National Guard. So they'll be able to provide assistance with answering some of his questions. But most likely, I expect that he'll have no problem going onto the website, navigating the application, and getting that initial claim filed.
And Richard Lavers, you said that folks like Dottie's son would have to self-certify their income?
Correct. So where our, Peter, our service delivery model has been really flipped upside down by the pandemic, as has a lot of businesses, which I understand. But the way that we provided service in the past was through our network of 12 New Hampshire Works offices around the state. Individuals were able to come in, ask questions about unemployment, sit down in one of our resource centers with free computers to go on, file their claim, all the while with an individual from our office really sitting over their shoulder, assisting them with that claim and answering questions. And because of COVID-19, obviously, that came to an abrupt end. So we have the hotline has been up. The hotline has been up since March 17th. We've received almost 164,000 calls at that hotline. And then folks can file at any point on the website. And because we don't want to or can't really have individuals be coming in and providing documentation for some that we wouldn't have their earnings in our system because they previously were not part of the unemployment system and didn't have to report their wages, we ask that they self-certify as part of the application process for their earnings, for those that are in the self-employed category.
Mm-hmm. And will they have to, after they self-certify, will they have to at some point prove that what they said they made in 2019 is actually what they made? Will they have to show you their 2019 federal tax return, for example?
So we're not asking for that at the time of application because we don't want it to slow down eligibility and payment to the extent that they're eligible, but they are told that they need to be ready to provide that information when asked down the road at a more appropriate time when we're not at where we are right now with dealing with the pandemic.
Listeners, give us a call if you have a question or a story about filing for unemployment. Our phone number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-6477. NHPR. You can also send an email to exchange@nhpr.org. I'd like to turn to NHPR's Todd Bookman for a moment. He's still with us by Skype. Todd, you've been doing some reporting on this, and you've spoken with applicants who don't describe what could be called a seamless application process. What have the people you've spoken to been finding?
Yeah, that's right, Peter. I interviewed someone just yesterday, a woman named Sarah Piedmont. She's an out-of-work restaurant server. This is somebody who's in her 20s. She's tech savvy. And this is how she described the online system.
It looks like they mashed together like five different websites from 2001. I could not imagine my own mother trying to use that website. It'd be a nightmare.
Ouch. That's pretty critical.
Yeah, not exactly a glowing review. And I don't know, Commissioner Lavers, if you want to comment on that. Do you believe that the website is working as efficiently as it could?
Yeah, I'd take particular exception to that comment. I think the website's been working very well. When you look around the country and you have states that have repeatedly had their systems crashing, and you've seen pictures of individuals initially at the height of the filing activity that were having to file in person on paper and standing in lines outside of unemployment offices. You didn't see any of that in New Hampshire. And that's because our system, although we have sustained significant volume on that, and there have been some temporary disruptions where we've had brief outages related to that volume, by and large, the system has stayed up and functioned well. We've processed, like I had mentioned, over 140,000 claims. We've had issued over 246,000 payments in that short period of time. So I don't know what that listener was referring to as difficulty. I can tell you that I'm constantly going on the website to make sure and verify for myself that what I'm being told in terms of performance is accurate. I actually went on a Friday afternoon during one of our highest weeks in terms of number of new claims, and I filed at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I filed a new initial claim, and it took me 11 minutes and 22 seconds from start to finish. So I think our system has been functioning well. So I would take exception to that comment.
I want to ask one other question, which is that we heard from a number of folks about long hold times, and you already mentioned that the staff has worked diligently to bring more people on board. Could you give us a sense of right now, if somebody called the hotline with a question, what the average hold time is?
So right now, in looking at what we have, the average hold time today, or the longest time someone's been on hold has been 25 minutes. We've had about 4,300 individuals call into the hotline today. Again, longest hold time was 25 minutes. And I can tell you that starting at about 4:30 every day, the calls drop off. They drop off a cliff. And there is nobody in wait, and we have people ready and willing to speak, but we don't get much call volume after that 4:30. So I understand some folks with their frustration because the 25-minute wait time that people have experienced today, that had been a longer wait time last week, but we were able to bring on additional call centers over the weekend with more men and women from the New Hampshire National Guard. That was a very important piece of this, our ability to respond appropriately from Governor Sununu. So we brought on that additional capacity. And to the extent someone's been frustrated and had difficulty getting through the hotline, I would encourage them to try back later in the day, 4:30, 5 o'clock. We're open till 8 o'clock. And from what I've seen this week, those hours really have little volume of calls coming in.
Is that 8 o'clock 7 days a week or just during the week?
Monday through Friday, Peter. And then on Saturdays and Sundays, we're 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Great. Listeners, we've got a lot of calls, and we're going to try to take as many as we can. The phone number, 1-800-892-6477. Let's talk to Jessica in Conway. Jessica, you're on the air. What's your question?
Hey, thanks so much for taking my call. I have a full-time employment, which I'm totally grateful for, and I'm able to work from home for that. But I've lost my second job at a restaurant here in Conway. And so I was working about 20 hours a week trying to supplement my income, of course, to make ends meet. And the unemployment office has told me to keep filing, that eventually it will work, but I have yet to see any payments. And what I'm hearing through the grapevine is that folks who are employed full-time are not eligible, regardless of any lack of employment from the COVID-19. So I'm wondering if there's a gap there where folks like me who have a second job to make ends meet aren't eligible, and just trying to get some straightforward information on that.
Good question, Jessica. Thank you very much. Richard Lavers.
Yeah, so I can address that. So if an individual is currently working full-time, they are unable to file and collect unemployment. That is a bright line rule. I apologize to Jessica if there had been information that had been provided to her that indicated otherwise. If we flip that scenario around and an individual who had lost their full-time employment but was still working part-time, you can still work part-time in New Hampshire and collect your unemployment. So we have what we call a 30% disregard. So individuals are allowed to earn in part-time employment up to 30% of their weekly benefit amount. So anything above that would then reduce your weekly benefit amount dollar for dollar. So I think if someone were earning at that 427, they'd be able the weekly benefit amount rather was at 427, they'd be able to earn up to $128 in part-time employment without it impacting their unemployment benefit. And then with each benefit, as long as you have some eligibility, Peter, your eligibility could be reduced all the way down to a dollar. So you had part-time earnings that reduced your benefit all the way down to a dollar. As long as you have $1 of eligibility, you also get the $600 federal payment on top of that dollar. And that $600 payment does not get prorated based upon any reduction or any earnings.
And would that $600 payment come alongside the first check that would have normally come?
Correct. So the $600 is paid right along with your weekly benefit. That started this week. So as of last Friday night, New Hampshire started issuing those $600 payments. And in that time, less than a week, we've actually issued $98 million in $600 payments to individuals filing here in New Hampshire. And a lot of those received multiple payments, Peter, because we had the way it was programmed in. First, for somebody's most recent week, they would have got the $600 with that weekly payment. And then we went through what we call a pay adjustment process that next night. So to the extent someone had eligibility for the $600 back for a prior week, they would have gotten that payment. And those went out on Tuesday and Wednesday of this week.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll talk more about this and take more of your questions and comments. Thank you very much, Commissioner Lavers, for being with us. Please stay with us. NHPR's Todd Bookman, thank you for joining us for this part of the program. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you.
That's Todd Bookman joining us by Skype. Listeners, again, questions and comments, welcome at our email, exchange@nhpr.org, or call 1-800-892-6477. That's 1-800-892-6477. NHPR. This is a special live edition of The Exchange. I'm Peter Biello. We'll be right back. This is The Exchange on NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. Coming up tomorrow on the weekly New Hampshire News Roundup, we'll check in with some top state lawmakers on what they've been doing about COVID-19. Lawmakers are making efforts to respond to the pandemic, and there is bipartisan concern over damage this crisis is doing to the state budget. So, how concerned are you about state finances? And what do you think state lawmakers should be doing to address the pandemic? Email us now, exchange@nhpr.org. That's tomorrow on the weekly New Hampshire News Roundup, live at 9 on NHPR. Right now, we're talking about New Hampshire's unemployment insurance program with Richard Lavers, Deputy Commissioner for the state's Employment Security Commission. Your questions for him answered. Give us a call, 1-800-892-6477, or email exchange@nhpr.org. Richard Lavers, applicants for benefits are being asked to self-certify. Self-certification, you've gone over quite a bit. I want to ask you about people who may have just been recently furloughed or have lost their work, especially when it comes to from hospitals. Katie, a nurse from New Hampshire Hospital, says, "My hours have been reduced to 32 hours a week instead of 40 due to the necessity of forced reduction of staff hours. I applied for unemployment for my 8 missed hours a week, and I was recently told I work too much to qualify for benefits. So is there a maximum amount of hours worked that prevents someone from qualifying for unemployment?"
Yeah, Peter, so they need to be working less than full-time hours in their particular sector. Just that piece of it, then Katie would have been eligible, but it sounds like what happened with her earnings, she earned too much beyond that 30% disregard that we had just been talking about. So she had earned too much that reduced her benefit down to zero again because of the earnings that she had and her continued employment.
Mm-hmm. A part-time job question coming in now from Christina in Franklin. Thank you very much for calling, Christina. You're on the air.
Oh, you're welcome. Hi. I have a question for my son. He was working in the housekeeping at the Steeplegate Mall. Yes, the Steeplegate Mall was still open. And he only worked 16 hours Friday and Saturday and occasionally on a Sunday. and I was wondering if there's a minimum amount of hours you can work in order to collect.
No, so there's not a minimum number of hours, but how it could impact your son. And we seem to have a lot of mothers calling today on behalf of their sons. So the way it could impact him is that if he didn't have sufficient earnings during the four quarters of his base period, that there could be an initial impact, but that will go away with some of the new eligibility we're creating. So normally, an individual needs to have earned $1,400 in each of two quarters during that four-quarter period in order to qualify for a weekly benefit amount. So while it's not hourly-based, it is earnings-based. And the reason for that is because it's the employers pay the taxes based on wages paid to their employees. It's those tax payments that actually fund the account from which benefits are paid. So that's why it operates the way that it does. If your son, in this case, didn't have sufficient earnings with the new federal pandemic unemployment assistance program, we are going to be able to put him in at the minimum weekly benefit amount, which will start off at $167 a week, and then it gets adjusted to $168. But the good news there, if someone comes in at that $167 a week, it also provides them eligibility for the $600 in the other federal payment.
Commissioner Lavers, we got this question from Susan, who wrote, "My question concerns people whose unemployment ran out earlier in the year. My unemployment payments stopped in February, and my benefit year end date is May 30th. I'm still unemployed. Am I eligible for the extra 13 weeks of unemployment insurance and the $600 per week federal payment? And if so, will they continue past May 30th?
Yeah, so that's a group of folks that we do see that with folks that had exhausted benefits prior to the impacts of COVID-19. So prior to the new federal programs, they wouldn't have been eligible. But for those folks that we would refer to as exhaustees, they do have eligible under the pandemic unemployment program. That is one component of the new program that we're trying to get up and running for those that had previously exhausted their benefits prior to the current crisis.
Mm-hmm. Brian had a question, Brian from Ashland. He asked, how many claims in the backlog right now? First of all, is there a backlog?
So there's always claims that are coming in, being filed, and there's always payments going out. So what we know is that with each claim could have a series of issues that prevent it from being in payable status right away. So we've been working aggressively to get those payments out. We've actually gotten over 25,000 people into payable status that had some type of issue impacting their claim, and that's work that we've been able to get done just this week. And looking at those new numbers as they come in today, that would bring us up somewhere north of 80 to 90% of those folks that continue to file and are payable are getting paid. So not everyone that files is eligible, and not everyone that files an initial claim then continues to file continued claims, because some folks go back to work on in their previous employment and don't file for other reasons. But we are aggressively addressing that backlog and have made some significant progress over the course of the week, and we will continue until obviously we get at all of those claims that are eligible. But again, not all the claims being filed are folks that are eligible for unemployment benefits.
Mm-hmm. And if an employee is simply uncomfortable going to work right now, the company they work for is still open, but the employee is scared of catching the virus and wants to stay home, is that person eligible for unemployment right now?
That's an interesting category, Peter. And initially, there was eligibility for folks that had done just that, that felt they needed to self-quarantine. There was some language that was passed as part of the CARES Act that addressed that scenario somewhat differently, and talked about individuals that had a need to quit employment as a direct result of COVID-19. We have asked, so this, when I say we, that's New Hampshire, has asked the U.S. Department of Labor for some clarification on that particular type of eligibility, and asked whether or not that states are allowed to pay individuals that are quarantining as a result of a directive provided by a public health official or a health care official, or if they're allowed to self-quarantine without having received either of those. We haven't received that guidance yet. So right now, that individual is able to file, and if he's able to certify as to that reason for not being employed, he would be found eligible. But that could change with the guidance that comes out from the U.S. Department of Labor that New Hampshire is still waiting for.
Listeners, give us a call if you have a question for Richard Lavers about the state's unemployment system. The number is 1-800-892-6477. That's 1-800-892-NHPR. We're getting a lot of calls, so if you aren't able to get through, you can always send an email as well. The address is exchange@nhpr.org. And let's talk to Carol, calling from Massachusetts. Thanks for calling, Carol. What's on your mind?
Hi, yes. My son opened the claim back on March 29th, and then he recertified the next couple weeks. No problem. But then when he went to open up a claim this past weekend, it started a whole brand new claim. So now he has two.
So he's got two claims. This is in New Hampshire, right, even though you're calling from Massachusetts?
Yes. Yep. Okay. He got a determination that he didn't make enough money because he didn't have long enough work history. But he did get another determination that said you are eligible for benefits because the employer shut down because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So that was all fine and dandy. That was on the 14th. But then when he went to recertify on the 19th, it wouldn't let him, and it opened a brand new claim. So we're concerned he's going to lose those first 3 weeks.
Oh, I see. Okay. Is there something in the system to account for that, Richard Lavers, when someone files a first claim and then files a second claim?
Yeah. So normally if you have someone that had all of their sufficient earnings in the base period, they would file that initial claim, and then they would go in each week starting Sunday and file their weekly certification or weekly claim, just confirming that they continued to be eligible, and that is what would trigger payment. There are some situations where we have, I think is what we have here, where someone might not have had sufficient earnings in their base period, but then in the first quarter of this year that just completed, they would have had qualifying wages. And so in those instances, people are advised to then file another claim to take into consideration that additional quarter to provide them with eligibility going forward. So it sounds like that is what is going on in this situation. But Peter, I'll try to get that information from that caller after we're done with the segment, so we can make sure to look into it further.
All right, Carol, that's a personal invitation from Richard Lavers to get in touch so you can communicate about this specific case. Let's continue to take some calls here and talk to Cindy in Groton. Cindy, thank you very much for calling. You're on the air.
Yes, hello. I'm calling not for my son, but for my daughter, and she's not making the phone call herself because she's so frustrated that she's afraid she might say something she shouldn't. Anyway, she works as a server, and the restaurant was shut down the middle of March, and she also is a massage therapist and had to close that business due to the stay-at-home orders from the governor. And she has filed a claim for both the W-2 wages and the self-employment, and she has heard nothing back from Employment Security. When she calls the hotline, she's put through to a volunteer, and the volunteers are not able to answer any questions. They're not able to access her personal account. And so she's going on 4 or 5 weeks with no unemployment compensation. Her college-age son is home from school now, so she has another mouth to feed. And just wondering when these people that are self-employed might start to receive some benefits.
Thank you very much for your call, Cindy. Richard Lavers, self-employed question again, and also a question about the volunteers on the other end of that phone line not being able to answer some questions about a person's particular account or application. What do you think?
Yeah, so some good points there. And just first of all, Peter, and to Cindy, I apologize to through you to your daughter for the frustrating experience that she's had. We obviously are striving to do better each and every day, but our apologies for the experience that your daughter has had. Individuals that are in our call centers now, just to address that point first, they do now have access to the system in order to be able to look up the information for the person that's calling in.
And when she said volunteers, is she knowingly or unknowingly referring to the folks from the National Guard who stepped in to help out?
Yeah, and the caller wouldn't know, obviously, who they're talking with. They could be talking with someone who works for the department. They could be talking to one of the volunteers from one of the other departments that have stepped up to help employment security. Or they could be talking with one of the folks from the National Guard that are in the call centers. So we try to direct those calls as they come in, where a caller can obviously select what it is that they're talking about, and we try to match their need with the skill of the person that's handling the call. So some of your more complicated issues or some of your issues where someone wants to file a claim, those get routed to individuals that are working in all of our local offices throughout the state. They're the ones that are most familiar with the unemployment system. So those folks are the ones that are normally handling their calls. So the situation that we have here, though, with a mixture of both W-2 employment and self-employment, there is some restrictions in place for New Hampshire, just as there are for other states. And while individuals that were self-employed, where they previously weren't eligible, now have eligibility for their self-employment, that is only the case if you aren't otherwise eligible for state benefits. So that is a requirement from the Federal CARES Act that before a state can determine if an individual is eligible under the federal program, which includes self-employed, you have to first look to see whether that individual has state eligibility. And in this situation where an individual has both W-2 earnings and 1099 earnings, those W-2 earnings provide them with eligibility for the state benefit. And so that's what we would be looking at first with this individual, is they would have state eligibility based upon their W-2 earnings, and we would not be allowed to be looking at those self-employed earnings. That's not a New Hampshire restriction. That is a federal restriction and guidance that we have received from the U.S. Department of Labor.
Thank you very much for your question. Really appreciate it. Let's talk to Gay in Loudoun. Gay, thank you very much for calling. What's your question?
Taking my call. So, curiosity, I own a business in New Hampshire. I'm the only employee and have been paying into the system for 15 years. I filed my claim back in the end of March and continue to file the claim every week. Call into the hotline, try not to do it often, but it, like every 2 weeks, to get status. And I think the most frustrating thing right now is not knowing where I am in the process. Because I've been told an adjudicator has been given my file, which was 2 or 3 weeks ago, and just trying to find out where the process is and where I stand in it.
Yeah, so to try to put in a couple of buckets here. So for self-employed that had were able to self-certify as to their earnings during 2019, those folks are being paid right now. For others that were unable to certify as to having any net earnings in 2019, those folks would fall into the group that we're actually putting in a solution into our system tonight. That was supposed to go in last night. We delayed it until tonight. So individuals that have been filing that didn't have any earnings in that self-employed category, we have a fix that is going in, so I'm hopeful that when we look at your claim tomorrow, that it will have addressed those back weeks, and you will have been paid for all those weeks that you filed for. But I understand that has been frustrating. We are trying to get that done, obviously, as quickly as possible. But as you can see from all of the calls that we've had, there's a lot of unique circumstances with each and every claim that comes in, and doing our best to try to address each and every one of them.
Thank you very much, Gay. Really appreciate your call. We get this note from Brian in Manchester who had this question. Brian wrote, I'm a senior citizen, full-time employee of a small 100-store retail chain, currently on medical leave. When the doctor approves my going back to work and I'm able to fulfill the demands of my job, can I file if the company won't take me back?
So with that individual currently not working right now, and I believe Peter said that he asked whether he could file if the company won't take him back.
That's what he said. File if the company won't take me back?
Yeah, he certainly can. So he would go online, file his claim, or get some help on the hotline at 271-7700. Obviously, he would then need to select the appropriate reason for him not working right now. And he would certify to that, then go in each week, continue to certify, and that would trigger his payment. But that is a scenario that is covered under the CARES Act with those COVID-19 types of eligibility.
We're spending the hour with Deputy Commissioner of New Hampshire Employment Security, Richard Lavers. We're talking about all things related to unemployment claims, since so many more people nowadays are filing as a result of the COVID pandemic shutting down so many businesses across the state. We have a full queue right now, but call slots do open up, so keep calling if you've got a question or a comment. The number is 1-800-892-6477. We're going to take as many calls as we can before the end of the hour. Again, 1-800-892-6477. You can also email your question or comment. The address is exchange@nhpr.org. This is a special edition of The Exchange. I'm Peter Biello. We'll be right back. This is a special edition of The Exchange on NHPR. I'm Peter Biello, and we're taking your questions on New Hampshire's unemployment system. We want to know how it's been working for you. If you have a story or questions about it, calling us is the best way to share. Our number, 1-800-892-6477. That's 1-800-892-NHPR. You can also email us. The address is exchange@nhpr.org. Right now, we're talking about the unemployment system with Richard Lavers, Deputy Commissioner for the State Employment Security Commission. And let's go straight to the phones and talk to Merrimack, Michelle in Merrimack. Michelle, thank you very much for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call. So here's my question. I worked for a couple years for a business which I chose to leave back in January. I gave a 3-week notice, left amicably, and decided to take another job with a disabled client that I used to work with years ago. The organization that I got the job with, of course, there are background checks, things like that, that you have to wait for. My new job did not start till March 10th. March 13th, I was laid off because of COVID. I applied for unemployment on the 15th of March, have been denied since. I talked to somebody from NHES who said because I didn't work at this job long enough, they had to look at my previous job. She said unless I give her information that I left that job due to my employer's negligence or fault, that I would not be eligible at all. Is that for real?
Well, you said that you applied on the 15th of March? You applied for unemployment. Well, Richard Lavers, I think you've been saying that the world of unemployment seemed to change on March 17th, correct?
Correct. That's when the emergency order went into effect.
So what do you think of Michelle's story?
I would encourage Michelle to the extent that her appeals period has expired, I would still encourage her to file an appeal if she hasn't, so that she can have an opportunity to present the further details of her prior employment, reasons for leaving that job, and her employment that she was with for a few days, get her to file an appeal so that we can determine whether or not there is, in fact, eligibility under any of the programs. I would encourage her to get that in right away.
Thank you very much for the question, Michelle. Really appreciate it. Richard Lavers, what is the role of the employer, if any role? Do the employers have to verify what their former employees or their laid-off employees are saying?
So the role of the employer is, depending on the type of separation. With what we're dealing with now, there's less need for information exchanged back and forth with the employer. But all employers get notices of claims that are filed against their account, and they have the opportunity to protest that, obviously, if they know that the reason for separation is other than what someone has indicated on their claim, or if an employer has tried to bring somebody back and they want to protest them continuing to be able to file. So employers are provided that information on each and every claim that is filed for their former employees. Right now, of particular note for employers in the state, is that the benefit charges, that the benefits that are being paid, are not impacting the employer's individual account. So for-profit employers pay in to the system on a quarterly basis based upon the wages that they've paid out, and they have their own unique tax rate that is based on their experience with the unemployment system. Real simple, we look at how much they've paid in taxes, how much we've paid out in benefits to their former employees, and then that provides them with a rate at which they pay. Obviously, they usually have very much an incentive to be reviewing each and every claim. Right now, none of those benefits are being charged against their account, so there's no negative impact on an employer's account. That was done by the governor's emergency order and has continued and makes sense, as really there's no opportunity to control the duration of somebody's unemployment claim in the amount of benefit charges that would otherwise have impacted an employer's account because of the nature of the pandemic. So we didn't want to penalize employers in the state for that type of situation.
Let's talk to Nate in Somersworth. Nate, thank you very much for calling. What's your question?
Hey, how's it going? My question is about eligibility. So I got laid off back in March 27th and was found ineligible because I didn't make 1,402 quarters. Now, I'm asking if I'm eligible because at this job I had for 2 weeks and was laid off because of the pandemic. Now, would I be eligible for federal unemployment or?
So we'd need to have, you need to have eligibility depending on which of the federal programs we're talking about. But I don't know if we have a situation here where there might be additional wages that could be used from the first quarter. Or if we're going to be looking at a situation where it's just simply there were insufficient earnings in the base period, and now with the fix that we're putting into the system to correct those individuals, where it could be, in fact, corrected tonight. So as long as you're continuing to go in and file your weekly claims, I'd encourage you to get in touch with the department on the hotline just to see whether or not there was any additional information that they were waiting for from you. But to the extent it was just a lack of earnings and that was the only issue that was impacting your eligibility, that will get resolved with the solution that's going into the system tonight.
Thank you, Nate. Really appreciate the call. Let's talk to Molly in Conway. Molly, what's your question?
Hi. Thank you for doing all you guys do. There was three of us girls that work in a nonprofit here that were laid off on the same day, the end of March. All three of us filed. Two of us received payments, but one still hasn't. And she's definitely the one that needed it more than any of the rest of us. She's in a bad situation. But my question is, the reason that she hasn't gotten paid, is it because she lives in Maine as opposed to New Hampshire, even though she's worked in New Hampshire for the last 20 years?
So it'd be tough to say exactly without really diving into the individual's claim. And thank you for your initial statement saying you appreciated what the folks at the department have been doing. And we've talked with a lot of people in some very difficult situations. And obviously, we want to help them to the extent that we can, and they have eligibility. And we want to do that as quickly as we possibly can. The fact that that individual lives in Maine but works in New Hampshire, well, she's filing against the correct state because you file against the state in which you were working. And there could be some other issues that are delaying that. One of those issues is that folks that had received payouts from their employer at the time of separation or who have gone back in for some intermittent employment, those earnings need to be looked at because we don't want to pay unemployment benefits to someone who had an additional week's worth of earnings and shouldn't otherwise be paid. So we are going through and taking care of each and every one of those issues. If that is in fact what is going on with this individual, which it sounds like that is probably the issue impacting her claim, and we are going through and clearing all of those, and we expect that with the work that we've already done this week on those that we'll be able to finish with those through this weekend.
Good to note, too, that you said that people should file in the state in which they work, not in which they live. So anybody living in the New Hampshire border but working in Vermont, Massachusetts, or Maine should file in those states.
Correct. They would file in the state in which they are working or right. were working. Yes.
Okay. Let's take another call and talk to Marinda in Stratford. Marinda, thank you very much.
Hi. Thank you for...
Oh, did we lose you, Marinda? Oh, I think we may have lost Marinda. Worth noting, too, that we got some emails on the show before the show began, and some of the people who emailed us with questions or comments emailed us again to let us know that they heard from New Hampshire Employment Security and they were all set and they did get their payments. So it seems like people are hearing back and getting help. In some cases, though, Richard Lavers, it's just taking time. You've mentioned a few times on the show today that it sounds like in some ways you're fixing the plane as you fly it. You're making changes, you're making adjustments based on feedback from the community and changes to the system itself, yes?
The description of fixing the plane as we fly it makes it sound like we're going to crash, right?
I didn't mean to imply that, certainly.
So the reason why we're implementing fixes to the system as we go is because we want to get people paid as quickly as we possibly can. And folks should remember that with all of the changes that were enacted as part of the CARES Act on March 27th, those changes then needed to be implemented by the states. The states needed to know the rules that they were going to be held accountable to from the federal government in order to implement those changes. So we are still learning some of those rules. We're still waiting for some of our questions to be answered, but we have been going full blast on getting those changes into our system. That's why with some of my answers, I've talked about different groups and how we're addressing it and going to get that fix in. Again, we want to get these fixes into the system based on all of this new eligibility that was created so we can get benefits paid to individuals as quickly as possible. And I don't want to wait put all of those fixes in all at one time because that's going to delay some folks from getting paid. So we want to get them paid as quickly as possible. We want to do it in a responsible way so that we're not putting the system itself in jeopardy. Every change that gets put in obviously is properly vetted. You have your IT people, your program people, a thoroughly reviewed business process. You thoroughly test. You test again, then you test again. And then when you're confident that it's not going to impact the system, you promote to production. So we are doing that process, and we're doing it as we go because we want to get people paid as quickly as we can.
Okay, one last question for you, Richard Lavers, and that is, what is Employment Security doing to protect the safety of the employees and people working at the call center?
The people that work at Employment Security, the volunteers that have been assisting, these are incredibly hardworking, dedicated people. I can't say enough about how impressed I am with the people that work for this department. We're one of the first, if not the first, public-facing agency that shut down our offices so that we stopped allowing members of the public to come into our offices. That was to protect our staff. We have screening checkpoints at each and every one of our buildings that contain a call center. So our main building here in Concord, we have a screening checkpoint. These checkpoints are operated by the National Guard, where they take the temperature and ask COVID-19-related questions of individuals before they come in to the building. We have brought on additional cleaning crews that thoroughly clean our buildings with all CDC-approved methods and materials each and every night. We have staff cleaning our buildings throughout the day, cleaning down, wiping down frequently touched surfaces, and we're doing everything we can to promote the health and safety of our very valuable people that work for us and are doing some great work.
Well, Richard Lavers, Deputy Commissioner for the State's Employment Security Commission, thank you so much for spending the hour with us. Really appreciate it.
Hey, Peter, I appreciate the opportunity to talk to all of your listeners and get some more information out there.
And before we let you go, really quickly, remind us of the number people can call if they have questions so they can contact you directly.
Yeah, so the hotline is 271-7700, and our website is www.nhes.nh.gov.
Thanks again. Richard Lavers, Deputy Commissioner for the State Employment Security Commission. That number again, 271-7700. That's it for today. This has been a special edition of The Exchange. If you've got questions or comments that you still want addressed to, you can call that number or keep the conversation going on our Facebook page. That's NHPR Exchange. The show's producers are Jessica Hunt and Christina Phillips. Senior producer is Ellen Grimm. Michael Brindley is our program manager, and our regular theme music is composed by Bob Lord. Engineer today, Dan Colgan. I'm Peter Biello. Thank you very much for listening.